Good afternoon, everyone. Let the record reflect that it is 1:33 p.m. on Tuesday, January 29th, 2013. We are at the Belts Room 105 in the Tom Stewart Building. Present, we have Senator Olson, Senator Matricki, and myself, Senator Dunleavy. But we do have a quorum. Let's see. Purpose of our meeting today is to hold a confirmation hearing for Commissioner Diane Bloomer, recently appointed to the Department of Labor. We'll begin by bringing the commissioner up and allowing her to provide any opening remarks she may have, and then turn to the committee for questions and provide time for public testimony. Commissioner, please come forward. And if we've got any, please turn off your cell phones, everyone. Just want to remind you of that. So, Commissioner Bloomer, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're qualified to be Commissioner of Labor?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today.
Excuse me for one second. Senator Ellis has joined us at 1:34. Please continue.
I'll start with just a little history about myself. I was born and raised in Southeast Alaska, born in Ketchikan, raised on Prince of Wales Island in Craig. Went from Craig to Sitka, Alaska, where I started to manage a hotel and entered the workforce and attended the University of Alaska Southeast there for a period of time before moving to Juneau, and went to work for the Department of Transportation in 1991. I've worked in several departments throughout my state career, which has been about 22 years. The Department of Transportation for about 11 years, Department of Administration, went to the Division of Personnel, and became the director of the Division of Personnel. I worked with the Labor Relations Section for several years, being an advocate for the state in arbitration hearings and leading negotiations for collective bargaining units, and being the chief spokesperson on many of those. I decided I had had enough of Southeast Alaska about 7 years ago and decided to go see South Central, moved up to Anchorage, took a job as the deputy director, for child support services. And then when Governor Parnell was successful with this term, I went to work for the governor's office, so was his advisor for the Departments of Natural Resources, or I'm sorry, the Department of Revenue, Administration, and Commerce. And then in May of last year, I was appointed to this post.
Terrific.
And that's where we are today.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the committee?
Question, Mr. Chair.
Senator?
Thank you, Senator. Excuse me. Commissioner Bloomer, I've been very impressed with your performance as a commissioner and tracking you back through 93. You've had increasingly challenging positions generally related to human resources and labor development, but what I've been excited about is possibilities for helping to encourage Alaskan hire in our state. And you've been very responsive to that, and I think that's important to all Alaskans. It's become increasingly important, and I just want to thank you for that. It's a good opportunity publicly to thank you for your work.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Matricki.
I have a question. Commissioner, what are some of your plans and visions for the department as you look forward?
Well, the number one of the goals is to maintain a low unemployment rate. Our unemployment rate is about 6.6% right now. We're the lowest in the nation. We're proud of that, but we still have a lot of work to do. We have a continuing need for workforce demand. I think Senator Matricki was there when they said, well, you missed the boat down on the Kenai. We need more trained folks down there. So I think we need to continue to work on even lowering that percentage rate a little more. So that would be one of the goals. Another goal is outreach. I've been with the state for 22 years, and when I came to the Department of Labor, I didn't know some of the opportunities that they offered. So I think it's really important to get out to all areas of Alaska some of the opportunities that the Department of Labor has through training grants, through individual training accounts, and just some of the networking that needs to be done with AvTech. And many of our other opportunities that we offer to get folks ready and trained for the jobs, I think, that are coming down the pike here.
Just a quick question. You mentioned that our unemployment rate is the lowest in the country. Correct. I thought North Dakota was lower than ours, but it just...
I will have to go look.
It's okay.
I do have the press release here, and I think we're the...
I think we'd like to be the lowest in the country. North Dakota may be lower than us. Just one last question. You have extensive background in labor relations and human resources. How do you believe that's going to benefit your position in the department you'll be overseeing?
Well, I think that any time you are in a position where you're advocating for management or for an association or an organization, you have to be able to balance both sides. So you can't go in with preconceived notions. And I think that's going to be beneficial for me as I move forward with this role, because I think there is a huge balance that needs to occur when you're looking at dishing out money to grantees and things of that nature. So,
thank you. Seeing no questions, so we'll move to, Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for being here this afternoon. Appreciate it. There's a very topical discussion going on about tax breaks for further oil development on the North Slope, and one of the biggest complaints that legislators often receive is the high percentage of non-Alaskans, of outsiders working in the oil fields on the North Slope. And we've been through many times the constitutional limitations of local hire laws. I've always thought it would be good business to hire more Alaskans in our oil fields on the North Slope. And the industry gives various explanations for why there's so many outsiders working on the slope. But one of the biggest complaints we get is the people that work on the slope for good salaries and then take, because of the 2 weeks on or the 2 weeks off schedule, take those dollars outside of the state to their homes in other states. So the schedules on the North Slope tend to lead to people from outside being able to maintain those jobs and take the benefits with them down south. Some of them even laugh about buying nothing much in Alaska besides a coffee at the Anchorage Airport. So can you speak to the numbers? I know, you know, as the labor commissioner, it's your prime responsibility. You all compile the statistics and the data regarding North Slope employment. Can you, so I'm, this isn't a gotcha or put you on the spot with specific numbers, but could you speak to the numbers generally, what the trends are, your efforts to increase the number of Alaskans in those good jobs on the slope, and just that whole subject area, if you could cover some of that for us, please.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Ellis. I won't be able to get into the specific numbers right now. We are actually in the final stages of developing or of providing the report to the legislature, the Alaska Residency Report, and we should have that to you folks by Thursday. So all of those numbers will be provided. I can tell you from the looks of the draft that I have seen, we will see a slight increase in non-resident hire, which is concerning to the department as well. We continue to look at ways to train local Alaskans for those jobs. We have implemented a core drilling training program with the MAPS down on the Kenai with the University of Alaska. And we're hopeful that if we find local Alaskans, train them up to take those jobs, they'll stay here in the state, and our residency rates will actually increase. We're looking at a few other programs and opportunities for local Alaskans. One is we've requested funds for a mobile mine simulator. We have a program here in Juneau that is very successful with Greens Creek and Kensington. We have industry input into that program, and the placement and the job placement has been a huge success. And so we are hoping if we can mobilize that program and get it out to some other areas in rural Alaska, those probably wouldn't be North Slope jobs, but they would be mining jobs. And so hopefully we can use that model to address the issues on the slope as well.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just follow up on that.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your response, and I guess I would request of you and of the committee to, once that report is out, for you maybe to continue the conversation with us about those, what the data show, and where we might go from here. And do I take it that there is a specific policy or a policy of the department to take the oil industry at its word that, or the big three on the North Slope, that if they could just find trained Alaskans, they wouldn't hire the folks from their folks, friends, relatives, associates, experienced people in the company from Texas and Oklahoma and California, that they would in fact hire Alaskans if they could just find trained workers. It's your specific policy then, or the policy of the administration, to train people for those specific jobs so that when someone grays out of them or retires or moves on, that an Alaskan would fill that position? Is that what your training is focused on?
Through the chair, Senator Ellis, yes, that's what we hope to accomplish, is to put Alaskans in those jobs. That would be our primary focus.
Okay. And you have no problem coming back when, I mean, it wouldn't be in the context of a confirmation hearing, but we can continue the dialogue about the Slope job figures.
Absolutely. Through the chair, Senator Ellis, I will be happy to set up a meeting to bring the actual RNA group over to talk about those numbers and those trends with you.
That'd be great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Bloomer, I guess I find it kind of unusual that I'm used to looking at old grizzled labor commissioners that have, you know, been through the wash a couple of times, been through the war and whatever else. We find this attractive-looking younger lady. Wonder what kind of background you had in labor, but it sounds like you have been out there in the workforce for a long period of time. But one of the questions I have for you is, we look at this gas line, the possibility of it coming through, maybe a bullet line coming down. What are your plans with the Department of Labor to go ahead and get us ready for this monumental project that's going to be coming on, that may be partially subsidized by the state and to benefit people in the state of Alaska, as well as the possibility of the LNG plant down there? What are your plans for it, and then which of those gas line projects do you most favor?
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Olson. The plan I can speak to easily.
Sure.
We have a dedicated person to work on, well, actually, the Alaska Workforce Investment Board, mm-hmm. With industry and public involvement, developed a oil and gas pipeline training plan, which was formerly called a GIA, but now we're actually revising that. We've identified 113 occupational job classes that would be needed if and when, I would like to say when, a pipeline construction occurs. So we are in the process of updating that. We're getting people trained through, we're providing training through registered apprenticeship programs, through some of the Alaska Work Partnerships programs that are out there. Any company that comes in and has a program that would meet any of those 113 occupational codes, we work with them to get people either in on-the-job training, registered apprenticeships, or just training programs, welding, all of those kind of things, to be ready. It's a tall order, and I feel like there's going to be a lot of opportunity for employment here in Alaska over the next several years, and so it'll be a challenge for the Department of Labor to meet that entire demand, but we feel like we're up for the task and we're working on it. As far as my personal opinion of the pipeline, I'd just like to reserve that at this point. I'm supportive of a pipeline, and I guess I'm going to defer to you folks who are the experts to determine which is the best one.
Well, I'm not sure what the experts. Mr. Chairman, if I can continue.
Sure.
As you look at, I obviously represent the rural part of the state that provides a lot of the revenues for that comes on in here that we spend there. I guess, what do you see as your position of the ability to have the rural workforce, where you have much higher unemployment rates out in rural Alaska than you have in South Central or even around Fairbanks? How do you see you interacting or furthering the rural workforce that's out there that has been, you know, covered by some of the unions? They've got some of the training programs that are out there. How do you see that interacting with what your position is?
through the chair. Thank you, Senator Olson. I guess I'll start with some of the programs that we offer currently before we talk about the jobs that would be directed towards the pipeline construction. But we have a Youth First program that we work with, and I'm not certain how familiar you are with it, but it is a pretty impressive program by some of the grantees that are implementing the Youth First. One I could speak to primarily that I was out in Mnemonic this summer, and the Yukon Delta Fisheries has a program where they employ youth from 14 to 18 in their processing plant, and part of that they call them the yeppers, and part of that is the youth work for those for that company during the season, but they have to be doing well in school. They have to be reliable. They learn all of the soft skills, and they graduate through that program so that they become well-versed in the workplace. And they actually make a few dollars, which gives them some sense of self-sufficiency. And what they've seen out in Mnemonic is some reduction in the crime rates with the youth. And lower dropout rates in the school, and so it's a newer program. It's only been in the works a couple of years, but it's been extremely successful. The kids made us a video, and it's a pretty touching video about what they've accomplished in the short season. So the Youth First program is one of them. We are reaching out to the regional training centers throughout Alaska to find out what the needs are, trying to work a little more closer with the economic development, the ARDRs throughout the state, to determine what are the needs in those regions and focus the training regionally on what the needs are. So I don't know if I answered your entire question, but...
That's good enough. Continue, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
As you look at the throughput coming down the pipeline is on the decrease, the funds that are coming into the state coffers are unless the prices are heading up, are going to be decreasing as well. That means that we're going to have less and less funds to go ahead and be putting toward AvTech and the VOTech education that's out there. How do you, as the Commissioner of Labor, plan on protecting that funding stream so we continue to have people that are locally trained, as Senator Ellis talked about, the people that are already ready to go and they don't have to go someplace else to get training? What do you envision as your route to go ahead and make sure that these technical institutes essentially have adequate funding to go ahead and continue on with the training programs?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I'm hopeful that we will have more throughput through the pipeline. So, we do have dwindling federal funds, and we potentially face dwindling state funds. We're looking internally, and this won't be a save-all by any means, but we're looking internally for efficiencies. We're looking to see where there's duplication of efforts, where we can provide more money to the training programs, keeping less money for administrative services and things of that nature, where we can eliminate some of those duplicacies. We're also hoping to look to provide a portal for the public, for everyone, to take a look at what training is available in the state of Alaska, so that as you decide to set up some kind of training in your region, you can take a look and see what's already available in that region. And so make it a little more simplistic for people to find out what training is available in their area. And we can see by a quick glance what areas are lacking. So what I hope to do is look for efficiencies, allow for some of the regional areas, the regional training centers, the ARDRs, and some of those folks to be more the boots on the ground and help us determine what training is needed out there, and then also streamline that training and make the process just a little more simplified. So that's our starting plan. I don't know, when I met with Senator Ellis yesterday, he said that's not going to get you to where you need to be, and we recognize that, so we continue to work on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Additional questions? Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. as you know, film and television production in Alaska is, you know, part of the knowledge-based industry, creative economy. There's great potential there. It's small but growing and very lucrative for the folks that can get the job. And just like I don't want the oil industry to say there aren't trained Alaskans for the North Slope, I don't want producers of lucrative TV commercials or movies or episodic television to say we're bringing people in from California because you don't have trained workforce and trained crew in Alaska. And so there's been some money in the capital budget for film and television production, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I was just hoping maybe you could, and I've been pleased to date with the department's performance in getting those training funds out on the street. Can you give us an update on how that's going?
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Ellis. I can. We actually have, we recently had a write-up, which I'll get for you at in a local paper, that was very complimentary of the film training plans that we've put in place. And the Alaska Workforce Investment Board just met in Ketchikan last week, and we had one of the grantees come and talk to the board about some of the things that they're doing. Ketchikan seems to be very active in the film industry. So we've granted out of the 486, we've granted out 259 to training providers that specialize in film and TV training program and curricula. The remaining 227 was budgeted for individual training accounts, so that people could. There isn't a, as you probably recognize, there weren't a bunch of folks that were ready to do that kind of training here in Alaska.
Correct.
So I think it's a, you know, it's more of a startup grant program. So the programs that we do have, there's a program called Talking Circle Media. And it's through the Crew Academy of Alaska. We have the Alaska Crew Training Act 1, which is a production boot camp 101. Mm-hmm. We have Alaska Crew Training Act 1 also, which is a week-long intensive level 1 and 2 program to prepare attendees for specific disciplines such as producing, production management, production coordination, and production design, and then art direction as well. We have the Affinity Films, which is set up to train individuals who already have a good working knowledge of the film production, but they haven't worked as script supervisors before. And we have the KPU Telecommunications for Southeast Alaska Film Training Consortium to provide a web-based class which students explore the concepts surrounding beginning video production. And finally, the University of Alaska has a film program for Film Reel Alaska Mentoring Experience Phase 2. I don't have the outcomes for you today because the grant, we won't have those until after June 30th. So, but it is, we are working on it. We have a great team working on it, and we're pleased with the progress so far. So thank you for that question.
Yeah, thank you.
Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just the way that I would like to put this in a very polite way is if there's one of any of the 60 legislators in this building that don't have a priority on Alaska Hire, I think they seriously need to re-examine their priorities. It's not a party issue. It's not an industry issue. It's been the history of Alaska, unfortunately. People like to bring up labor from other places and make them temporary Alaskans, and it's been in mining, fisheries, tourism, oil and gas, most of our industries. And we talked a few days ago about this issue, and I do really hope you'll make it a priority to, if it's not legal constitutionally to penalize, certainly look at incentivize to reward those that hire our Alaskans. And I know there's been some great programs that have trained Alaskans, and I know their success rate on being hired has been very high. So certainly hope that you'll make that a priority over this next operational period for your position in your department. I know you'll have lots of support from the legislature. I think it is a key priority for everyone in one of these seats that we see our Alaskan brothers working, and we disincentivize those that are hiring folks from somewhere else. So we're open to any ideas you have on how we can create legislation that encourages greater percentage of Alaskan hire.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Machiki, and I look forward to working with you on that.
Thank you.
Any additional questions or comments at this point? Seeing none, let's open this to public testimony. Do we have anyone online? No one online. Anyone sign up? No one sign up with that. seeing none, Senator Machiki.
Yes, sir. I'd like to make a motion to forward the name Diane Bloomer to the full body for consideration with the understanding that it does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of Ms. Bloomer.
Is there any objection to the motion? Without any objection, Ms. Bloomer's name will be forwarded to the full body. The next committee meeting will be held at 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 5th, and we'll be posting the schedule shortly. The meeting is adjourned. Before I adjourn the meeting, I just want to make one note that Senator Stedman has been excused. He's on state business. With that, let us not forget to sign a letter. And this meeting is adjourned.